This is the English translation of Inner Life Message Series, Warfares Number 2, Against the Old Self, Part 1, by Pastor Grace Jung, translation by David. In our last session, we talked about there are two enemies we are battling in our spirit. One is sin, the other is Satan. Satan often tempted us through suffering and worldly matters. Today, we're going to talk about another formidable enemy. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 26 to 27. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So here you see, Paul did not live aimlessly during his time on earth. He lived with a purpose and a goal. The goal is to receive Jesus Christ himself as the ultimate prize or reward. There's one thing that is so very important, that he must keep working on himself. He knew very well that his biggest enemy is self. This old self would stop him from receiving Christ. In his original text of the Bible, it says that I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, meaning I shall not be considering this old self and submit to its desires, and instead treat it like a slave and not have the old self have its way, never obey its will, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Martin Luther also understands this well. He said, I'm paraphrasing here, I am afraid of myself more than the Pope, because in me I have this bigger Pope, which is myself. In the spirit, I realize how scary the issue of enemy of self. In the Bible, there are some description about it. In both Corinthians and Ephesians, referring it as the old self or the old man. The old or the former man was caused by our own selfish desires. Let's look at Romans. In Romans, it says in chapter 8, 7 to 8, and also verse 13. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So this old self is no small matters. Paul tells us that the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. And for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. This is such an important topic that we as Christians often ignore its significance. When Jesus was still walking on earth, he never really focused on how to fight Satan. He would focus on fast and praying to cast out evil. But you see, in our bookstores, you see so many books about how to defeat Satan and his evil plans. Instead, Jesus focused on this. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 9, 23 to 24, and actually also in all other gospel books address this as well. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Jesus often says that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. He was referring to our old self, if we try to save it, we will lose our eternity. So you must deny your old self. Saving it, meaning that you value it, follow it, and let it control you. So you must let it go and let it die to receive eternity. We often want to care and protect our old self. Why couldn't we receive the fullness of God's glory and power? Our old self stopped the flow of Holy Spirit in us. He prevents God's Spirit to fill us. In last year's summer conference, I preached 2 sessions about living in Christ or abiding in Christ. I shared what God revealed to me, that what was stopping God's Spirit to fill me fully is my old self. I care so much about how others will perceive me. I am a minister. I can show my weaknesses and let others know. How is it possible that I can speak in tongue? I care so much about my own image and self-worth. When Pastor Pearl Young made the altar call for those who wants to receive the gift of tongue, I was afraid to go up to let others know that I did not have it. I continued to think about myself until one day I brought it up to my pastor. I said, "Till today, I have not been blessed with speaking in tongues, and I am extremely scared to sit next to someone who does pray in tongue. I am afraid to let others know that I can pray in tongue." Such pressure I explained to my pastor. Then she tells me, "Well, next time when you preach, just let the congregant know that you have not been gifted in tongue." I believe God has spoken to me through her at that time. I received his word in obedience. So as I was walking out of the room on my way to get on the bus to go home, I felt so heavy, like I'm carrying the cross. I mean, telling you today, the focus is not whether or not you need to pray or speak in tongue. At that moment, I felt so heavy, knowing that everyone's old self will reflect in different ways. At the moment, I decided that I want to publicly admit that weakness of not able to pray and speak in tongue. Initially, I felt so heavy. I felt like I was about to be hanging on the cross. But at the same time, I can feel my old self is departing me. I emptied my vessel. Every day, I felt like I was living in Christ. I was set free, abiding in him. And when I was doing my laundry or cooking food, Jesus, I can feel him right there with me. I finally realized what prevented me to receive God's fullness was actually my old self. There's this brother that came to visit US on a business trip. He thought to himself that this trip will enrich him with occupational skills and promote his status in the workplaces. A co-worker of his invited him to join our services. The first session that he listened to was the obedience series. As he started living a life of obedience, he realized that many of his bondages were loosened and broken. Finally, he realized that the true purpose of this trip is to form a deeper intimacy with the Lord. It was never about professional skills in the marketplaces. Just like that, I did. A simple obedience to obey what my pastor told me to do. And then my old self got off me. When my self-pride was emptied out, it humbles me so much. I start seeing all other brothers and sisters are so much better than I am. Truly, from my heart, I could see that. Even though they were just college kids, but I truly feel that they were so good and so much better than I was. This is called poor in the spirit, a heart that's humbled. So when your old self goes out, that God's presence comes in so naturally. There's no need to beg for that. God's living water will just flow down to the lowly areas. Such a deep peace you'll receive. So you see, self is our biggest enemy. We must continue to deny ourselves, as Paul said, and obey God's will and not our own selfish desires. Our body or flesh must obey the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 17. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. It says here that you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. In the original text, it means fulfilling the flesh's desire. So if the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray, then you pray. Even if it's just a sentence or phrase, you need to release it. If the Holy Spirit wants you to stop talking, then you just stop talking. You got to learn to obey and walk by the Spirit. So you will no longer fulfill to gratify the desire of your own flesh. He also says that here, that for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. So if you do not obey the spirit, you'll be enslaved to your flesh. You will not be able to do good, and you will sin instead. If you walk by the spirit, then you are a free person. You gratify the desire of the flesh, then you will lose your freedom. So you will be kept captive and bound up in your old self. Like people who love to save face and who are always in captivity and not free. They live for what others say about them. In verses 19-21, it says that the act of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurities, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So as you see, if you do not let your old self die, you will get bigger and bigger. If you got raging anger and you do not repent before the Lord, your anger frequency will increase more and more. Same with envy. If you do not let it die and nail it to the cross, you will rotten in your bones. Same goes with jealousy and everything else. There's this minister that serves at the same church as his father. His father is getting old and senile. He will often get forgetful and not remember what he said just a second ago. But many congregants still praises him. They will tell him that you are just as good as when you're young. And no one praises the young minister. Sometime after, this minister became very jealous of his own father. This is the attitude and temperament of old Adam, you see. You will compare against one another, and oftentimes because that someone said or something they said, you get jealous of certain things. So hearing things like Saul kills by the thousands and David kills by tens of thousands in 1 Samuel, that you will begin to hate this person. Or whenever you hear someone praise this person, you will feel like contradicting them. You want to quickly tell people some of this person's shortcomings. You simply can't stand hearing good things about that person. That is our jealousy inside. There is a big pope inside of us that since superiority, all praises must go to me. In churches, we rarely hear about the concept of old self being talked about or preached. Why is that? Because people don't like to hear about it. And even if you mention it, nobody knows how to deal with it. So the problem gets bigger and bigger, especially among co-workers at church. Even a son will get envious over his own father. If we have a competitive heart, whether it's not it's at work or ministering or even teaching our children, you will fail and hurt them. Parents will hurt their children because of their old self. Despite the fact that you spent all your money, your energy on your children, giving them the best food and best things in life, waking up early to go to work and take them to school, all because you think that you are loving your children and want to provide the best for them. But when your old self is not taken care of, you will only hurt your children in so many different levels in your daily lives. It is not just about you love the Lord so you can raise your children well. It's about dealing with your old self. We love our children in our own selfish ways. We have so many expectations from them and give them so much pressure and hurt them. If they do not reach our standard or our expectation, we get very angry. We get even rageful sometimes. You scream and yell at them out of anger, which will injure them. No amount of money could resolve or remedy that kind of hurt, that kind of pain, because we are incapable of crucifying our old self to the cross and let it die. We defile our serving to the Lord in the ministry and to others. When we try to minister to others out of ourself, you will defile the other. So Testicken, who was an old saint, said this: when rely on our own strength and understanding to do things, no matter how seemingly it is good, it is all abominable. It is so full of evil and sinful because our self is deceitful. We will take away God's deserving glory, and no matter how much we do it, it will bring back many bad consequences. So when that day comes, many will say, "Lord, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out the demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name?" Then the Lord will say to them, "I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers." In the scripture, doing good means do what God wants us to do. In Ephesians chapter 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It is just about doing something good. Like many, it is not just about doing something good. Like many Buddhist followers, they do so many good work, but their life may not be transformed because of it. So doing work, it is about to do God's will and what he prepared us to do. You are doing evil if you do things according to your own desire. The Lord tells those who do things according to their own desire to go away from me, that you evil doers. Some days ago, a mother called me and told me about her 5-year-old daughter. She tells me that her daughter loved to help her mop the kitchen floor and cleaning the area. Initially, I thought, wasn't that nice? A helping daughter? And then the mother explained to me that she actually wanted her daughter to tidy up her own room by putting the toys away and things. But the daughter did not want to do what she asked her to do. Instead, wanted to mop the kitchen floor for her instead. Reason being, so that she could play with water. This is something that she enjoy. This kind of reminding me of how we adult minister the same way. We often only want to minister where we have interests or where I could show off. We only want to do things that we like to do, not necessarily what God wants. We're careless about what he thinks, so we're not serving the Lord at all. It's like those people who sold sheep and cows outside of the temple for financial gains. We do what we want. This is all about gratifying the self. We need to pay attention to the different expression of our self desires. Let's look at Proverbs 16:32. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Here we see better is one that has self-control, because you can take a city. In Proverbs 25:28, it says that like a city whose walls are broken through. Okay, let's do it again. Let us like a city whose walls are broken through, is a person who lacks self-control. So this is serious. If a person lacks self-control, it's just like a city without walls to guard it. So that means any enemies could just come in the city and take whatever they want, whenever they like, and destroy and take you captive and stomp all over you and take your treasures. We should memorize this word, because all of the Satan's evil works is in the self. Holy Spirit help us defending it. And if you do not address these self desires, you will be seeded and it will take root in you. In other words, you'll get pregnant in you and get birth to sin and bigger self. And eventually will lead you to death. Many people will blame Satan for everything. Oh, it is all Satan's fault. I feel like it's really pretty unfortunate for Satan, because in reality, that we all have this evil monster inside of us, and that is the old self. It's not all the doing of Satan, it's our old self. A brother once shared with me that he's going through some relationship problems. So I told him perhaps the Satan wants to mess with you and make things difficult for you. He replied to me, "No, I think it's not Satan, but because of my old self." He was being very honest. Don't blame everything on Satan. Oftentimes, it is all those things that listed in Galatians 5:19-21 says. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, jealousies, you know, selfish ambitions, envy, and all that. So all these things arise from self-centered love. We should not rely on our own strength, but surrender it all to God. If we continue to please our old self and fulfill its fleshy desires, you're just going to get bigger and strong on us. You will take authority over us. We will need the Almighty God to take over and fill us so that we can completely eradicate this old self. You must increase. I must decrease. Rely on the cross to nail it to death. In Galatians, he tells us that keeping in step with the Spirit and crucify the flesh with passion and desire. So whenever your fleshy desire arises, you must continue to declare, "Jesus, I belong to you." Those who are Christ, belong to the Christ, have crucified the flesh with his passion and desires. I declare my flesh and old self does not have authority over me, and they are not my king. It has been crucified and died. The old self is not me, and I no longer know him. If you keep declaring this way, one day you'll realize God's power will come upon you, and you shall be free. It is not how hard you struggle with it on your own. It is all about you holding on to God's promises and his word. So about 20 years ago, a 20-year-old son of a sister robbed a bank because of his addiction to drugs, and he was jailed. And at the same time, the mother's 19-year-old daughter got pregnant out of wedlock. The father of the child is a married man. So this mother is on the verge of breaking. She was feeling depressed and disappointed, frustrated. So she sought to seek the Lord. So the Lord released a word to her. "I will call your son to meet you from the east." Something like that. I don't remember exactly, but she thought to herself. So the mother thinks, "How could that be possible? My son is already in jail, who's a drug addict, and my daughter is like that." Then she looked up and she sees, as she was praying, she looked up and she sees this fly buzzing and struggling, you know, near her window, trying to get out. So she opens the window to let the fly out. But that fly was so focused on its own little spot and corner, and it continued to buzz and fly and hitting and struggle, not able to see or tell the window has already been opened. So she suddenly realized that she is just like that little fly. "I rely on my own strength and to struggle, and I fail to see God's promises with the open window." Because of this revelation, she declared, I will no longer struggle on my own. I can't save my son, nor can I transform my daughter. But I will place my trust in you, God. Your promise will come to pass, and I will put my hope in you. In not focusing on my children's circumstances, I trust that you will lead them. And she continues to declare and pray to the Lord like this, even though nothing seems to change for long periods of time. But her perspective shifted. She's no longer depressed, enraged, no more self-blaming about her children. You see, we often love our children in our own selfish ways. You'll feel shame. But when her perspective shifted, she realized that her children are actually God's children. We can change them, but the Lord could take care of them and transform them. So she no longer cared about losing face and all the troubling circumstances, and she no longer feels sad and painful and depressed. Instead, she chooses to rejoice in the Lord every day. She tells the Lord that I trust you, that you can do all things. I will rejoice in you, God. And as time goes by, 20 years later, her son completely overturned his life. She's no longer a drug addict and became a model citizen. And her daughter also got married and lives a happy life. She now has a granddaughter with a wonderful grandson. So their family is united in Christ and they love one another. You see, oftentimes we just fall behind our old selves and feel frustrated and doubtful and depressed. Our old self will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. Our old self will keep us focusing on the dark side so God's glory can come in us. He will not be able to raise the tent over Zion because it's full of darkness and doubts and disbelief. Unless a person has faith in God, he cannot work in us. If you want God's power to work in us, we can no longer keep in our old self. When we let it go and let go of our own ways, our own wisdom of dealing with things, and come before the Lord and tells him that, I know you can. I have faith in you. And I gaze up on my kings, and he will do good work. The way to win this battle is to leave no room for your old self and let the Holy Spirit rule. When you feel shame, anger, and frustrated, all those things described are symptoms of a strong self, especially who are professionalists. How could you possibly be perfect? One time, Pastor Pearl told a brother that, oh, I really hate my old self. I can't keep it under control. She thought the brother would comfort her with his words, but instead he said, Sister, why do you still put up so much hope in your old self? I put no hope in my old self, and no matter what I know, my old self is hopeless. I would always know that my old self is hopelessly bad. My old self deserves to be crucified. Why do you still hope in your old self could change? Pastor Pearl felt a bit ashamed, but embarrassed, but what he said really helped her greatly. So don't feel bad after you got angry. Just repent to the Lord and move on. You see, whenever I left you, Lord, I lose my temper easily. And just focus on loving Jesus. Do not just live in that feelings of regret all the time. Many people often live in the feelings of the past mistake and failures. It helps nothing. So you see, people like Lawrence and Teresa, who have good relationship with the Lord, they get no feelings for their old self. When some people are corrected, they will become nervous and afraid and being told what they did wrong or what they didn't do well. That means your old self is very strong and you feel defensive. So if you're afraid that the old self status, you're afraid that your old self status will be reduced. The natural reaction is to defend and get nervous. 1 John 4:18 describes it well. There is no fear in love, but the perfect love casts out fear. I am so very grateful. The more I seek Him and stay in His presence, the more secure I feel. In His love, I feel secure. This is what I'm used to be. I'm afraid to make any mistakes. I was afraid to be corrected or pointed out. But the more I seek the Lord, His love casts away any fear in me. Everyone makes mistakes, including pastors. So whenever I get corrected, I want to thank the person and admit my mistakes and move on. Take away the power from your old self and know that it is hopelessly bad. I don't want to think of myself as a pastor. I want to confess my sins with my brothers and sisters. I don't want to conceal or pretend to be something else in public. Now, you'll be set free when you crucify your old self. So don't be bound by your own status and positions. Turn like a child. I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, as Paul said. Someone whose old self had never been broken and who is self-centered, there's no use in God's kingdom. That person has no use in God's kingdom. It is like whenever you got corrected, you'll come up with a bunch of excuses and point your finger to others, this and that. People who are self-centered, self-love, self-pity, has little use in the kingdom. People like that, God has no use for them. So people like that has posed no threat to Satan either, because no almighty power can be produced in them. We so often want to learn the skills and the tactic to go against Satan. But really, you just need to bow down to God and crucify your whole self and let God sit in the throne. You will cause tremendous blow to the dark world if you do that. Your old self is like a monster with multiple heads. You will service unexpectedly. We must know that if we don't, we will lose Christ. You must stand firm and not negotiate with your old self. We must track it down to the most minute part of our being. Don't set it loose. Do not gratify it. You can choose to be revengeful and gratify your old self, or you can humble yourself down and just accept it and love the old flesh to be broken. Therefore, God often creates many environments just to cause the self to be broken. Jesus first demonstrated to us how to let the flesh die on the cross slowly in 6 hours. The 6 hours that he was crucified on that cross. The old self will not die so quickly. It takes time. Paul tells us that day after day he will die towards himself, his old self, and let Jesus be magnified in us every day. Even in Paul's shadow that his towel could heal people, this kind of message is speaking to ourselves. The message is speaking to me and not for others. You gotta hear this message for yourself. My old self needs to die so Jesus can live in me, so we can live like Paul. Even his shadow and towel can heal people. Let's take a look at Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What does this all mean? It means that even if I get corrected, I will not be offended or get hurt. When I made a mistake, I just need to confess because Jesus lives in me. Don't feel ashamed. I live by faith in the Son of God. Because Son of God lives in me, his faith is in me. He has been crucified for me. So no one can accuse me of any sin anymore. I also do not need others to love me more because God loves me. No need to beg for others to love me or to please others. The word, his word, will set us free from our old self, our self-awareness, feeling depression, frustration, disappointment, rejections, and all that. I don't want all that. I want to rejoice in the Lord. So even when my body is not feeling well, I will rejoice in you, Lord. When I get criticized by the boss, I will say, I will rejoice in the Lord. Of course, don't say it aloud in front of your boss. Also, in front of your parents, when you get corrected, you must receive it in humility first and admit and confess your fault. Then turn to the Lord and declare, because you love me, I will rejoice in you, Lord. I do not want to live in the guilt of my old self. They are bad feelings like inferiority complex, frustrations, and etc. I live by faith in the Son of God. God care about you and your will. Choose the faith of Jesus and care less about the feelings of your old self. And admit it in your heart, affirm it in your mouth of God's promises. So to conclude, let's recite this verse one more time. I have been crucified for Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Let's sing the song, Ask the Lord to Give Strength. This is a literal translation. This song has a very profound meaning about resolving our old self. God bless.